Hello, my name is John Summers Flanagan, and I would like to welcome you to the Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast. Today we have an extra special award-winning show. It's maybe Oscar-winning, I'm not sure. Perhaps the most exciting topic ever.
Very exciting, John. I'm Sarah Polinchek, and today's show is Why Kids Lie and What to Do About It.
Ooh, what a good topic. What an excellent topic. Why do kids lie, Sarah?
You know, before we answer that question, I think we need to acknowledge that on occasion, even adults sometimes lie.
Really?
John, have you ever lied?
Other than saying that this might have been Oscar winning or award winning, and a lot of the lies that I tell all the time to myself, no, I've never lied.
That's a total lie.
Yeah, I mean, the first part of our show is going to focus on why kids lie. But, of course, adults lie too. And so I'm just curious, Sarah, why do you think I just lied?
Oh, gosh.
About not lying.
Because you want to sound good. You want to be impressive.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the most basic motivations for lying for children and for adults. Mm-hmm. We want to look a little better than we are, or sound a little better than we are. And speaking of that, I just want to let our listeners know that if we sound different today, it's because our sound audio guy, mm-hmm. Mike
sound
Matthews.
Guru.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's traveled to Arizona.
To get away from the snow, and we have snow here.
So not to get away from us, but to get away from the snow. Mm-hmm. And so we might sound different, and this will just make you all miss Mike Matthews, just like we do.
All right, so John, we've established that adults lie, and yet I know many adults who sort of panic when their kids lie. I've heard adults worry that their lying children will become criminals or become deviant in some big way. But how can we reassure parents that that's rarely the case?
You mean they don't become criminals and deviants?
Sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do. Yeah, I mean, I would just reassure parents and remind them that all kids lie, all adults lie at some point here and there, and they mostly grow up to be relatively normal adults who are not obsessed with lying, and they have relatively good moral values. And yet, we still want to make sure that they lie a little less.
Right. But when a young kid, a five-year-old, tells us a funny story that's they've completely made up, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean they're becoming a criminal.
Absolutely
right?
not.
Right.
No evidence to predict that they are going to become a criminal just because they tell a lie at age five.
So lying seems to be a normal part of childhood development. But before we get into some of the strategies for how to respond to lying, I think we should talk about some of the reasons kids lie.
Yes. And that's that mantra that we try to talk with parents about a lot, and that is get curious, not furious. Let's not overreact. Let's think about what is going on underneath to make it so kids lie. Mm-hmm.
That's something we talk about a lot with a lot of our parenting strategies, is to try to figure out what's going on underneath.
Absolutely.
So we want to figure out the reasons behind our kids' behavior. It's a great first step. So some of the biggest reasons kids lie.
Yeah. So to start with, I would say with really young kids, maybe two-year-olds or three-year-olds, a lot of times they lie not because they have some intent to trick their parents or to trick anyone, but it's really a process of distinguishing reality from fantasy. And so, you know, if they say there's a monster under their bed, it's not that they're lying. They might actually think that that's reality, and that's their fear transformed into a story. Mm-hmm. For other kids, when they get to age five or maybe six, they might intentionally lie with a purpose, right? Just like when I started this show and I said, it's award-winning.
Right.
I'm lying with purpose. And kids may start to do that around age five or six. One example might be, you know, I take a cookie. I'm a six-year-old and I know I'm not supposed to take a cookie. And yet I say, I have no, I didn't.
Even though you've got chocolate all over your face.
Right,
and crumbs are falling off.
And if I'm a really good liar, I might say, no, I didn't. And you can take my fingerprints.
Right. gather evidence. So, you know, another reason that kids lie is for self-defense. They're trying to protect themselves. They don't want to get in trouble. None of us want to get in trouble. So that's reasonable. And I'm thinking of an example, John.
Okay.
So when my youngest, let's just call him Jonathan.
Okay. That's a nice name.
All right. So Jonathan was about 7 and a thumb drive in our family went missing.
Mm.
And we searched high and low. We searched the entire house because there was a lot of important documents on that thumb drive and we really needed to get it back.
Yeah.
We asked both of our kids, have you seen this thumb drive? This is what a thumb drive looks like. What can we do? Can you help us look? I mean, we searched high and low.
High and low.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Jonathan swore he had nothing. He hadn't seen it. He had no idea where it was. Well, guess what?
You found it
under
his stuff.
His bed. Under his bed. So Jonathan had been so intrigued by this thumb drive that he took it and hid it under his bed. And then I think once he realized that this was really important, he just was too scared and nervous to let us know that, oh, indeed, I do have the thumb drive.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Good example of lying for self-defense or personal protection.
Yep.
I think we can all relate to that. Another reason why kids lie is just for denial. And really the purpose underlying denial, like, no, it didn't really happen. I mean, it certainly could be self-protection also, but sometimes people deny things because they're too painful.
Yeah.
You know, maybe your parents are fighting a lot at home and you hear it, you see it, then somebody says to you, how are your parents getting along? And you say, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Fine. Yeah. I just am not going to say it. I'm not going to share it.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good example. So another reason that kids would lie is imitation. They're doing what adults do. And John, there are so many examples. I'm not even going to go there because lying, you can turn on the news or the radio or any kind of media and you're going to see ubiquitous examples of adults lying. And I think that does send a message to kids that that's just what you do. You get into a place of power if you lie.
Right. And that just means, and we're going to talk about this later, parents, adults have to look at their own behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a tendency, I know that this is going to be a surprise to you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tendency to be sarcastic.
I have heard sarcasm from you.
Yeah, once in a while. Mm-hmm. And one of my grandchildren has become super sarcastic.
Mm.
And I'm just wondering, I just keep wondering, am I contributing to that? I'm not lying, but I'm pretty sarcastic. Yeah.
Mm.
Another reason, another rationale, motivation for lying is ego boosting or boasting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the motive is I want to look better. I want to look better. I want to have an award-winning podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say I have one. And I might say that I invented podcasting. And you might remember that person from Saturday Night Live, Penelope, who used to go around and say, oh, you got a new car. You got a new car. I got 3 new cars, right? Because you just get caught up in bragging and being better.
Yeah. I don't know why I can remember this. I was in the first grade and we moved into a new neighborhood. And one of the nice moms in the neighborhood was trying to get to know me a little bit and asked who was in our family. And I said, I had a 15-year-old brother because I just thought it would have been really cool to have a 15-year-old brother. I didn't think it through because she could see that I didn't have a 15-year-old brother. And my mom was only, you know, 28 at the time or whatever. So anyway, the facts did not add up. But I remember that feeling where I just wanted to feel cool in the moment.
Sure. Yeah, that's pretty fun. Didn't think it through.
I did not. That's how lies go often, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sometimes we might lie to profit, to make a gain, right?
Right.
So kids might lie in the form of cheating on a test and then lie about that.
Right.
That's, you know, get in the head.
Right. And a lot of these things overlap a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit to maybe protect themselves from punishment or something like that. I also think, well, you know, some adults, they lie on their tax returns.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just brought that up as a possibility.
Possible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people lie for hostility.
Hostility?
Yeah, like to get somebody, to get somebody back.
Mm-hmm.
Like I might say, oh, you know, that's Sarah Polinchak. You know what she, you know, And then I just fill in a lot of disparaging things about you.
Like just spreading a rumor.
I think that happens maybe a little bit in schools.
Gosh, the social media, I think.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that can be hurtful.
Right.
So another reason people lie is self-image. You know, once you've been called a liar and you're expected to not be a trusted person, lying becomes a habit.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing we know about kids is they live up to the expectations that we put on them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one tip that we have right straight away, is that we don't want to call kids liars.
One little caveat to that, Sarah, mm-hmm. is they often live up to the negative expectations
yeah.
much more quickly than the positive expectations.
Right.
I know parents who would say that, I've got these great positive expectations. Shouldn't my kid be living up to that? Well, it just seems easier. It seems to be just human for people to live up to the negative expectations more quickly than the positive ones.
Yep. So people think, well, everyone thinks I'm a liar anyway. I guess I'll just be a liar.
I have no motivation to be anything else.
Yeah. So we want to clearly not create that situation.
Right. And the last one we're going to mention, and there are a few more. We're not doing an exhaustive list, but some people lie out of kindness. And the example here is, yes, Sarah, I think that outfit looks really nice on you.
We'll just make a note for our audio listeners that John just gave me a once-over when he said that.
Well,
and then laughed.
I mean...
And now he's nervous and trying to get out of it.
You see, now you might think that I'm lying, but I also could be telling the truth.
We'll never know.
All right. And so we would agree that even though it's normal for kids to lie as they're growing up,
mm-hmm.
off and on, sometimes even for experimental purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
To see what happens. Kind of like you in your situation. You thought it was cool. 15-year-old brother.
Right.
You know, maybe I doubt that you had told that kind of lie before, and you probably didn't tell that kind of lie again.
No, I tried it out, and then I remember feeling kind of the shame
yeah.
when this nice mom was like, I didn't think it was possible that your mom could have a 15-year-old child. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's some experimentation going on. Kids learn. We want to make sure that it doesn't become a problematic pattern or that it becomes part of your child's identity. So, Sarah, let's talk about some suggestions for parents who are looking to have constructive ways of dealing with lying.
Okay. So we have a few tips. So number one,
mm-hmm.
and let's start with younger kids. So we've talked a little bit about really young kids, you know, ages 2 and even 3. At this age, remember, the difference between fantasy and reality is really blurred for these kids. So just go with it. When a 2-year-old comes and says, you know, no, I didn't eat the cookie, just go with it. 2-year-olds really aren't lying.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. When they get to be, you know, 3 and 4, we can start to again roll with their stories. When kids become 3 and 4 and tell us a wild story about the monster who came in the room and spilled all the juice on the floor, we might join them by saying, gosh, that sounds like a really good story. You have a good imagination.
Mm-hmm.
If a 5-year-old tells us that same story, we might join them by naming what is happening. What's the strategy? So I might say something like, you know, I wonder if you're worried that if you spilled the juice, you might get in trouble. So you're telling me that a monster did it instead. Would you like some help cleaning it up?
As I listen to you, Sarah, I can almost hear some parents cringing because they're worried that they might let their child get away with a lie and that's going to encourage more lying. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I can understand that, right? Because I think parents tend to think, oh, you lied, we need to have a negative consequence. But really with this age group, I just don't think that's the case. Joining with our kids when they make mistakes and naming the strategy they're using, it's just another way we're supporting good decision making.
Yeah, I agree, not surprisingly. And one distinction I would make is that the focus of the parent, as you join with the younger child who's making things up,
mm-hmm.
is really about teaching. And so you can get to the underlying issue, and
mm-hmm.
that's perfectly fine, and just do a little teaching and educating about that. Like the example you gave about the spilled juice, and maybe we should clean that up together.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're really sort of acknowledging the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And helping then the child deal with the truth more directly.
Yeah, there's no shame involved. No one's getting in trouble. No one has to feel bad about it.
Right.
It's part of development.
Yeah, I think scolding can actually bring more attention to it than mm-hmm. it needs and stands the risk of reinforcing it because you're paying so much attention to it.
Okay, now you're just begging me to say my cheesy little thing.
Okay, so say it. You say cheesy every episode, so I can hardly wait.
Remember, we want to water the flowers, not the weeds. Cheesy fits, right?
Yeah, you're cheesy. Yes, you are.
All right, so number 2, our next tip for parents is that we don't want to back them into a corner.
Tell me more about that.
Well, okay. So for an example, it's easy to walk into your kid's room, see some food messes all over the dresser, all over the floor, and say, did you bring food in here and eat it in your bedroom? But when we ask these sorts of questions, when we already know the answer, we're just backing kids into a corner and asking them to be really brave and tell a scary truth. If they lie, now we've got two issues to deal with. One, the fact that they broke the rule, and two, that they lied about it.
Right. That kind of a scenario I just consider to be a setup.
Yeah.
Right? Another related situation that's a setup is to play detective, mm-hmm. right? As if you should be an investigator and you should be a detective and you should be the one who determines whether your child's lying. That's often a really bad scenario. There's that old saying, ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't ask kids questions, but it does mean that we just don't want to get into being the detective investigator. One person, a guy named Schaefer, who co-edited the book, How to Help Children with Common Problems, gave this example. He wrote, if you know your child did poorly on a test at school, don't ask, did you pass your exam? Instead, make a statement. Say something like, your teacher called and told us that you failed the test. We're worried. We wonder how we can be of help.
Yeah, exactly, John. I think sometimes we as parents ask kids these sorts of setup questions out of habit, or we kind of think it's our job to test them almost. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that's a good solution. We aren't thinking about all the ways we're putting kids in a tough spot when we do that.
Right.
So what else is helpful?
Well, and just one last thing on that particular scenario is the setup is, it's so tempting, right? You know your kid did something wrong and you want to see if they're going to fess up. I'm just saying natural temptation, resist it.
Yeah.
And resist it because it's not going to be a positive outcome. And then you're going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. Tell your child what you know,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Start with that because really by withholding the information, mm-hmm. in some ways, that's a lie of omission, right?
I was just thinking the same thing. When we already know the answers, but we're asking questions as though we don't, I mean, we're not being honest.
No, we are not.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Big insight. Light bulbs
yes.
coming
yes.
on for both of us. All right. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's just say your son stayed out later than the plan and didn't call, and then he lied about where he was when he finally does get home. What's your response? How do you handle that kind of scenario? You go, first.
Okay. Well, I learned something from a really smart psychologist mom in town. And so this is what I do. This is a philosophy that I've taught my kids, which is that if they provide me with full information, I let them own that information and
okay.
we can have a collaborative discussion about it in that
okay.
way. But if I find out the information later, now I own the information and consequences are going to be according
okay.
to that information.
So they have a little motivation you've dangled out
mm-hmm.
there for them to come clean.
Exactly.
And because that gives them a little more chance to avoid
big consequences.
Bigger consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That also brings up an issue for me, this kind of scenario, is that when kids do something that they know is unacceptable and then they lie about it,
mm-hmm.
there's this approach called the double consequence.
Okay.
Where there are two natural consequences. Let's say your son went out, was too late, and so there might be a natural consequence of he's grounded the next two weekend nights or something like that, right?
Okay.
And that might be reasonable. But then there's the lie, and so that gets a different consequence. And it might mean, well, you lose your phone privileges because you didn't use your phone to call me and tell me where you were and what was really happening. So you lose your phone privileges for a couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those are relatively small, modest consequences and kind of related to whatever it was that your child did.
Yeah.
But there are two offenses, and I think we need to have two consequences. Just like with your system, you're saying you come clean and there's less of a consequence. You own the information. Then we can have a discussion about how to handle it.
Exactly. I like it a lot because it's a lot more collaborative. And I think because I have teenagers, anytime they're in on the solution, it just feels a lot like they're learning something in the process and not just being punished.
Which takes us to another way parents can deal effectively with kids who tend to lie somewhat, or maybe even who haven't lied very much, but you want to keep being a positive environment. And that is that we have regular conversations with our kids about our values around honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the frame. We talk about our values around honesty, how much we appreciate honesty. And instead of saying, don't lie, we're saying, do be honest. And that's a family value. It's an ethical value that will help in your life and in our lives together.
I really like that. I don't think we can take for granted that being honest is just something kids will naturally do. We have to talk about it with intention, right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately,
yeah,
this means we have to be good people again.
Yeah. Yeah, darn it. That's just unfortunate, but sometimes that happens when you choose to be a parent.
Yeah.
You
yep.
might also be choosing to be a role model.
Yeah.
You know, there probably are lots of examples of how parents accidentally teach their kids that lying in certain circumstances is okay.
Right. You know what pops into my head
mm-hmm.
is when your kid turns 12, prices for admission for a lot of things go up.
Oh, yeah.
And I know a lot of parents where they just say, they put forth their 13 or 14-year-old kid and say, nope, he's 11.
Oh, maybe you got a short 15-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think, oh, I can get a discount.
You're 11 today, son. So what we're saying, John, is that we need to understand lying is a normal part of development, not a sign of deviant behavior. We need to understand a child's developmental stage and recognize the difference between a young child who's playing in a fantasy and a child who understands reality and might be lying with intent. Totally different things.
Right. We want to have reasonable expectations, reasonable consequences, so kids feel safe and encouraged to be honest, to tell the truth. We want to find ways, without lecturing too much, to let our kids know that honesty is a family value and an important one to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, John, I think it's time for the money tips. Ching, ching.
Nice. In the absence of our fancy audio person, mm-hmm. you have taken over the sounds. Okay, so this is the part of the show we give out tips that are worth a lot of money, mm-hmm. at least in our own minds.
Yes. And I think mine is.
Okay, let's hear it.
So my money tip is to make a really big fuss when our kids tell the truth.
Mm.
Remember, we're watering the flowers.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love it so much when you're honest to me.
So for young kids, we can get really dramatic, you know, and funny and give them lots of attention when they tell the truth. And for older kids or teenagers, I just think it's really worthwhile to acknowledge that telling the truth is hard sometimes and to show them how much we appreciate when they're brave and honest, and that we know that they could have maybe lied and gotten away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big deal when they tell the truth, and I think we need to honor that.
Yeah, yeah. I like that a lot. I think maybe my ideas are worth more money, but that's just my opinion. I think we want to model honesty, right? Mm-hmm. We want to discuss moral issues. We want to discuss ethical issues. We want that to be part of our family education that we have together. Sometimes we might want to make a point of telling the truth when we feel like lying. It's that example that you said earlier about, oh, I just want to pretend that you're 11.
Yeah.
You might want to say, I would like to, I'm tempted to, I wish I could get the bargain,
mm-hmm.
but you actually are 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess we better just go with that rule.
Yeah.
So to be honest about some of the struggles around telling the truth.
Yeah, say them out loud. I have a quick example that just popped into my head. I accidentally stole something the other day.
Oh.
It really was an accident. So, you know those stretchy bands at the gym you use mm-hmm. to just exercise with?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I stuck one in my pocket, and I started to walk out in the parking lot, and I had this thought like, ooh, I have this, and I could use it at home. And then I'm like, Sarah, you can't steal this.
Yeah.
So I turned around and went in and kind of laughed with the guy. I was like, I almost stole this thing. Here you go. And I made sure I told my kids that
mm-hmm.
because I wanted them to know that, like, hey, you know, I turned around and brought in this dumb little thing and returned it because we tell the truth.
Nice.
And they kind of laughed at me, I have to say, you know, but I still think it's an important message to keep telling them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I remember one time I got like $10 extra in change or some a really significant amount.
That's a lot of change.
And one of my daughters was there, and I remember just thinking, oh, I want that extra $10. But I made a point in front of my daughter to say, hey, you undercharged me by $10.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure I give that back to you. I remember the best part of the response was that my daughter not only got to witness that, but she got to witness how much appreciation that the person who probably would have cost her $10 out of her salary.
Right? She would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What about resources?
I know. I have my old standby again, Jane Nelson.
You're going to just talk about sleep again? If you sleep, just have your kids sleep more.
And they won't lie.
And they won't lie as much.
No, that is not the tip of the tip that I have. But Jane Nelson has so many books, and one of my favorites is Positive Discipline from A to Z. And, you know, lying is under L in her book,
mm-hmm.
and she has a couple pages that with just really nice, easy tips in there.
Great. Look it up under L for Jane Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow.
Lying under. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
I was just summarizing.
All right.
So for resources for me, I posted an old handout that I used to teach a class on lying at Families First. And so I posted that handout on my blog, which is johnsummersflanagan.com, which is a place everybody really goes to all the time.
I go there all the time.
Well, thank you.
That's not a lie.
It's not a lie. No. You're right. I do like your outfit. So then there's one more, and it's a classic. It's titled Why Kids Lie by a man named Paul Ekman, famous guy, studied deception a lot, E-K-M-A-N,
mm-hmm.
published back in 1991, but really still a good resource on kids and lying. And it's no lie, but that brings us to the end of our show.
It does.
In closing, I would like to say thank you, as usual, to NPEN, the National Parenting Education Network, for sponsoring. The Engelhard Foundation also for sponsoring this show. So thanks to them. Thanks also to the Department of Counselor Education at the University of Montana, which is where we are recording this episode.
Right now.
Yes.
Thank you, John.